On a recent morning, Greg Mingo put on a cap and black jacket and took a bus to the state capitol in Albany. There, he stood before a crowd of lawmakers and advocates for criminal justice reform and spoke briefly of his former life when he was incarcerated.
Last September, I had a friend of mine came in when he was 16 years old. He spent 45 years in prison, and he died a week before I came home. But you know what he died from? He died from hopelessness. And he died from not having the support that some of us are fortunate to have.
Then he urged state legislators to back two bills meant to make it a little easier for people to obtain parole, including those men and women who are growing old in prison and at risk of what advocates call death by incarceration.
It's time to put aside the politics. This is a moral issue.
He wasn't alone. A coalition known as the People's Campaign for Parole Justice had recruited Mingo because he gives a face to all the people who have remained behind bars for decades, many of them black men and women. But with days to go before the end of the legislative session, it's unclear whether these efforts will bear fruit. And for all the talk about addressing racial inequities in the criminal justice system, advocates for criminal justice reform confront a new challenge: rising crime. Mingo was 28 when he and two others were charged in a double robbery murder in Queens. The killings of James Parker and Karen Sheets took place in 1980, when violent crime was soaring.
Good evening. We're coming off the bloodiest year in the history of New York, 1,784 homicides.
Mingo maintained his innocence from the beginning. He and his supporters note that no physical evidence tied him to the crimes, and that his court-appointed lawyer failed to put his alibi witnesses on the stand. His fate was sealed when a co-defendant testified against him. He was convicted and received a double life sentence that would end no sooner than 2031.
It's just a struggle emotionally to deal with it, to realize, you know, you're in prison, you could possibly spend the rest of your life in here, and you could possibly die in here.
In time, Mingo became an inmate peer counselor and spent years advising others on their legal cases. His reputation as a model inmate grew. Then in 2020, George Floyd was murdered, and more Americans came to recognize the racism at the heart of our criminal justice system. And Mingo's story and his ongoing plea of innocence came to public attention, thanks to the efforts of New Yorkers committed to the cause.
Free our people, let them go.
Last August, as one of his last acts in office, former Governor Andrew Cuomo commuted Greg Mingo's sentence. Mingo was sitting in the prison library when a prison official told him to step out into the hall and to take his mask off.
So now my mind is racing and I'm wondering, what is this about? And then he pulls out the paper and he reads off that I was granted clemency.
Mingo's story is rare. Over 10 years, Cuomo commuted just 41 sentences out of thousands. For her part, Governor Kathy Hochul has commuted just one sentence since entering office last August. In an email, her spokesman said Hochul would continue working on improvements to the clemency process. But advocates worry that even with a supermajority, Democrats in New York have stalled on criminal justice reform.
In the interim, lives are being lost.
Daryl Tolbert works with the group Release Aging People in Prison, or RAP, and was previously incarcerated. Like Mingo, he was in Albany to lobby legislators and their aides on parole reform, including a bill called Elder Parole that would make it easier for anyone who's served at least 15 years to get parole if they're over the age of 55. The average lifespan for an inmate in New York is 58 years. Their cause has found unlikely support from a coalition of groups representing the survivors of violent crime and who favor shorter sentences.
What we're doing here is something that is really new.
Chell Miller is a spokesperson for the New York State Coalition Against Sexual Assault.
Bringing together the parole justice movement as well as the survivor justice movement in ways that it's never really been done before in New York State.
However, neither Assembly Speaker Carl Hastie nor Senate Majority Leader Andrea Stewart-Cousins have indicated where they stand on parole reform, which means it's unclear if legislation will even come up for a vote. That leaves advocates frustrated and wondering just what it takes for criminal justice reform to be enacted.
This is what I used to play inside.
I may be just a foolish dreamer, but I don't care.
Mingo spent decades advocating for himself and imagining freedom, but he wasn't prepared for the news that he was actually being freed. At that moment, He said his body suddenly grew hot.
My knees buckled, I almost fainted.
Mingo made the prison official read the clemency letter once more, then asked him if it was real.
He said it was, and then he took me and had me put water on my face.
And on the day he walked out of prison, 40 years after he was incarcerated, he noticed that the air smelled different. He's now somewhat in demand. He spoke at the Innocence Network conference in Phoenix and advised Bennington College on its prison education initiative. For now, he shares a house with his sister and her husband on a hill in Ossining overlooking the Hudson River. Nearby is Sing Sing, one of his former prison homes.
Sometimes I go out on the porch at night and just sit there and listen to the sounds. It almost sounds as if the trees are talking to each other, the leaves are talking to each other, you know, and the birds are talking to each other in a language, and you're sitting there saying, I wonder what they're saying, you know.
In the coming days, Mingo says he'll be phone banking, attending rallies, and doing anything else he can to get parole reform passed before the end of this legislative session. Arun Venugopal, WNYC News.